So I'm Coach Jake. We call all the Stafford coaches. God's called us to be a team, right? We need each other. Today we're going to be talking about contentment, but I think the truth is we don't know what we don't know, right? And we don't know how to be content. So we're going to start by praying for God to come and open us up to the truth, right? So let's pray. Jesus, you are so great. God, you are such a good Father. God, through your Holy Spirit, come and show us the truth. Convict us of the truth so we can be satisfied in you and be generous with others. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, if you had a little bit more money, would you be more content? And I got some head nods because we're in church, right? I got someone shaking like, nope. But a lot of us, whether you admit it to yourself or not, we think like, oh man, but if I just made $5,000 more, or if I just made $30 more a week, or whatever it is for you, right? Like, then I wouldn't have this problem. Then I'd be able to do this thing I want to do. Then everything would be great, right? Sometimes you don't know where a road goes because you've never been down it before. So I'm going to take you on the journey of what if you were super, super rich. There's this guy, Rockefeller, back in the 30s, crazy rich. There's been lots of rich people, right? But at the time, he's like the richest guy in the whole world. And somebody asked him, how much is enough? And you would think, like, surely if I was the richest person in the whole world, right? Like, then I could spend all the time I wanted with my kids, and then I could be generous to this or that thing or whatever. Rockefeller's answer is pretty famous. He says, just a little more. Like, isn't that telling about money? That you could have more of it than everybody else in the world, and you would still have this feeling of just a little bit more. It sounds pretty unhealthy, right? Like, it sounds like a substance that's dangerous. And we live on Earth, on this world, all these people, we live in the United States of America, right? Like, there's a lot of stuff that's focused on money. But most of us think that our money serves us, right? And that we'd be better off if we had a little bit more of it, right? And I was reading a good book called Money, Sex, and Power by Richard Foster, and it really digs into, like, what does the Bible say about money? And then here's how money tries to manipulate us and enslave us. And it's hard to take seriously what Jesus and the other writers, Old and New Testament, say about money. Because you start paying attention to what they say, it's like, oh, this is different than everything we grow up with hearing and all the commercials and everything else, right? But that contentment piece, I think, is important for us. A lot of us are chasing a little bit more, thinking we'll be happy sometime in the future when we get a little more. And our kids grow up, and we become spiritually kind of out of shape because we think, like, I'll do it later when I have more, right? So I'm going to read us a passage, if we can go to that first slide here. So we're in this Cutting Back series about choosing abundance. We can go to this next slide with the 1 Timothy. This is where we're going to be hanging out today. Great passage. Has to do with money and its role in our life, right? So if you've got a Bible, please turn there. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And Paul is talking to Timothy about false teachers, people that are really religious, but they're trying to be religious to get money, which is not a good motivation, right, to be a religious leader. But then he shifts gears in verse 6 to just talk to everybody. And I'm going to read 6 through 11 kind of in a chunk. We'll have it here on the screen, but I'd love it to be in front of you because then I'll be referring back to it. We're going to read it as a chunk. As we're reading it, don't just let it wash right over you, right? Don't have a hard heart. Like, let it sink in. And realize that, like, this guy who's writing these words in the Bible inspired by God, right? His view of how much he needs to be content is way different than our view. So let's start in verse 6. 1 Timothy 6:6. But godliness, that means acting like God, right? Like doing the next right thing like God would do it, right? So just like God's generous even to people that are ungrateful to him. Jesus talks about that. Like it's doing the things that God would do, right? That's godliness. But godliness with contentment is great gain. So that idea that what if at the end of the night you could hit your pillow and think, I treated people the right way and I feel good about my life and who I am. Like, that sounds pretty good, right? If you could do the right things and feel good about your life, like that's pretty amazing, right? He's saying like that's great. Like that is a true great thing. Verse 7, for we brought nothing into the world. When you're a baby, you come naked, right? Naked and screaming for help, right? Like that's how we enter the world, right? We brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it. You might not be screaming at the end, but like you don't get to take your toys with you type of thing, right? Verse 8, but if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. We'll come back. Verse 9, those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. People who want to get rich fall into a temptation and a trap. Most of us, if tomorrow someone came to you with a job offer, is like, here's another job, it pays twice as much as your current job. Most of us are super interested, right? If I had some like lever to pull, and like $100 bills fell out of the sky, I don't think any of you would just like sit there like, yeah, I'm good. You know, like I'm content, right? You know what I mean? Like people want that, right? And it's easy to read this and say like, oh, love of money. That's like the Scrooge cartoon or something, right? Like Scrooge McDuck or whatever rich thing you're into, right? Like, oh, that's those people over there. They love money, right? Money's just something I use to buy food or take care of my family or whatever, right? But a lot of us, when we make decisions like whether it's what kind of clothes we're going to wear or what kind of vehicle we're going to drive or even what kind of house we're going to get or whatever, there's this question of like, how much can I afford? That really dictates a lot of what we buy, right? Don't always ask the question like, does God want me to have this? Or is this going to help me be obedient, right? But how much money we have like dictates a lot of what we do, right? And I'm not saying you should just go buy a house you can't afford or something like that, right? But just because you can afford it, does that mean it's the best thing for you, right? If you've bought a pair of shoes that are the nicest you could possibly afford, it gets hard to give those shoes away to somebody who doesn't have any shoes, right? Like, you're like, how do these, you know, I'm trying not to crease these or whatever, you know, right? You know, you don't want to give them away. It's pretty scary stuff here. It's easy to read over that and be like, oh yeah, that's other people. But here it's talking about like people walking away from faith in Jesus, cutting themselves, like piercing themselves, because they care about money. They love money. And that it's this trap. It's this deceptive thing, right? It's hard for it not to get a hold onto you. So whereas Rockefeller felt like, well, just a little more, that would be enough. I would tell you, like, if you're not content with whatever you have right now, which I know we're in all sorts of different spots, right? Like there's people in the room who just have the clothes on their back pretty much, right? Like there's a full range of kind of Americans in the room, right? But all of us seem like we can get clothes, we can get food. That's not true in every country. That's not true everywhere, right? And that attitude that Paul has of, like, if I just got food and I just got clothing, like, that's enough. Like, that's really far from where I'm at and where most Americans are at, right? And we don't view this money thing as something that's dangerous or can hurt us, right? Like, think about, like, so fire powers so much of the stuff we use, even if it indirectly, right, whether we're using a power plant or whatever. But with fire, like, it wants to consume. It wants to burn stuff up, grow, expand, right? And so we, like, if you pay any attention, like, all of our technology stuff that involves fire, like, it's all super tied up, controlled, because it's dangerous, right? It approaches it with a lot of respect because we know, like, this thing doesn't want to be under control. It wants to destroy and consume. But a lot of us treat money like, oh, I can handle that. That's no problem for me. And so I want to get us to some commands here in just a minute. But first, I want you to think that for yourself of, like, if I had less, could I still be content? Like, if you had half the money you make right now, my guess is you would still find a way to get clothes, and you'd still find a way to eat and have your kids eat. But so many of us walked into the room today feeling like, well, I don't really have enough. Things are tied too tight. I wish I could XYZ good thing, but I have to for money. But if some horrible event came in and you wound up with just half as much money as you have right now, you would still probably be able to get the basics met. And so if you're waiting to do the right stuff or to be a good parent until you have enough money, like, it's not the right way to live, right? Like, you're falling into this trap. Like, you don't have to wait to do the good opportunities that God's given you right now, right? And so here's the thing. As we become mature, I got this compass view up here, right? Earlier, I went over this. Earlier, I had a slide of, like, somebody in some dark woods, right? If you were lost in the woods and trying to find your way out, it'd be wonderful to have a compass, right? If you knew, like, where to go and it could just tell you the right way. As Christians, Jesus has promised not to leave us as orphans, to give us the Holy Spirit. And the truth is, you have a lot of financial decisions to make where, like, I can't just tell you, like, this is exactly what Norm should do, right? This is exactly what Nevaeh should do, or whoever it is, right? And you can't even point to a verse always to know, like, exactly what you should do. As we mature with Jesus, the Holy Spirit is going to be this compass in our heart for all the different decisions we make. How to do them in such a way that at the end of the night we can feel like I handled that in a godly way and I'm content. But a lot of us, like, aren't anywhere close to having that compass where we just, like, always know what north is. We always know the right thing to do, right? The book of Hebrews talks about, what is it to be mature? What is it to not need milk anymore? Like, you get there by constant use of God's commands, right? By doing the right thing over and over, you get a feel for what the right next thing is, right? But if you were lost in the woods and you didn't have a compass, but you had a few giant landmarks, right? A mountain or some radio tower or something to look at, or even the sun, right? You could do decent, right? Like, you might not get exactly where you're trying to get to, but as long as you stay to the left of the mountain or to the right of the river or whatever, like, you'd kind of get there, right? There's a lot of commands in the Bible about how do we spend our money, what do we do with money. It's like those landmarks, right? It'll show you the general direction of where you should be going. And if you will do those general things, it will lead you into the right sort of heart. So, like, when John the Baptist comes to the people and they're like, what should we do? And he's like, well, if you got two sets of clothes, share with somebody who doesn't have any set of clothes. If you start living that out here in Independence, you're going to run into people at some point who don't have adequate clothing for the weather. And if you have a coat and you see somebody without a coat in the middle of December and you give them your coat, the next time you go to buy a coat, you're going to be wondering, like, I don't know that I want to buy that Patagonia, like, super fancy, like, down whatever coat. because I'm going to have a hard time giving it away, right? If it's really hard for you to give stuff away, you start even buying stuff differently. Like, this thing I'm going to buy, is it going to possess me where I can't give it away? Or am I going to be able to at least live up to what John the Baptist told people to do who didn't even have the Holy Spirit, right? At least you can share when you have more than enough clothes, right? But it starts to dictate, like, what you think is the right thing to buy. When you're like, if I run into somebody that's in need, could I give this away to them, right? Becomes these signposts. Well, we're going to do some commands here from 1 Timothy 6. And it says, command those who are rich. Now, I know in the room, like, we got some people that don't, that are living on the street, literally. We got other people that were living on the street 3 months ago, right? And we have other people that have owned their home for a long time, right? So we got this whole mix in here. But if we went over to the slums in Nairobi or to some, like, street kids in Calcutta, and we had you eat the same meals you've eaten this week in front of those street kids or in front of a family in the slum, like, every single one of us could be in a certain group of people and feel like, well, I got quite a bit, actually. And so when we read this command, those who are rich, I think it's good to read this passage and say, you know what, I'm going to try to do it. I'm going to approach myself as if I'm rich, and I'm going to try to be obedient to what this says, right? Because food and clothing is like abundant in independence, right? Like, according to kind of what Paul's talking about here, like, we got a lot of access to a lot of stuff. So these are commands right here out of the Bible. Let's see if we want to walk with them, right? Verse 17, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. There's so much packed into there. Real quick, on the not putting your hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, I got to talk to a family in Mexico that was really well off, like, had a lot more, had, you know, a lot more resources than I have. But they had been alive in Mexico when Mexico, like, reset their currency and, like, ruined the finances of a whole bunch of people, like, totally out of their individual control. And this family was talking to me about how, like, every time they get some money together, they buy a piece of property because they don't trust the government or the money system to hold value. So they try to have their wealth spread out into property. And you might be like, oh, yeah, Mexico, like, oof, yeah, I'm glad I don't live there. Well, like, Greece, which sounds like, oh, yeah, that's another part of the world, like, I'm sure it's fine. I remember, like, a decade ago or so, their government was super behind and super in debt and trying to do something with the EU, and they took everybody's checking account, like, all their own citizens. They took all their money to cover some sort of debt thing going on. And I know we think, like, oh, yeah, but that'll never happen to me. I'm sure people that it's happened to felt that same sort of way, right? And whether your government messes the whole thing up for you or whether it's just like something else out of your control, right? I mean, there's lots of individual people who think they have a sure thing and it falls apart. I mean, like, that happens, right? Like, you can't guarantee that wealth's going to be there. And it's not so much about like, oh, so I got to get really good with money so that never happens to me. What this is saying is put your hope in God. Like, God will take care of you. He will take care of your kids. Like, Jesus himself said, seek first the kingdom of heaven, and all these things, talking about food and clothing, will be given to you as well. Like, Jesus is going to meet your basic needs if you'll stay with him. Right? That last line of that verse, though, God who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Some people who are Christians, they go the other direction, right? They feel guilty about any sort of money or guilty about any sort of fun. And like, God didn't make the world to just feed people. I can remember when I was in Mexico, I was around a bunch of people that had a lot less money than I was used to. And we were trying to build these little tiny houses. And I was trying to live super simple. I was in clothing that was falling apart, right? You know, like, Chrissy had to redo my wardrobe altogether when we got together. But I got real obsessed with, like, trying to maximize how much I could give away and trying to not spend anything. And I got to go from this dusty, hot little town in Mexico up to a mountain outside of Monterrey to Cola de Caballo. It's this, like, waterfall. Very beautiful. But it's this massive area this super beautiful waterfall, and I've been hot and dry and covered in cement powder all summer, and to stand in front of that waterfall with all that like cool water coming off of it, it was like so beautiful and so refreshing, and I was just hanging out with God there. And a lot of times we can be dead wrong on stuff that we think is so right, and if we'll just go enjoy some time with Jesus, like Jesus will talk to us and be like, Jake, wake up. And the thing he woke me up about was like, I could have made this whole mountain just cornfields if I just wanted to feed more people, right? If the whole point of the world was just to feed people, everything could be flat fields. God made this mountain and this beautiful waterfall because like God's into like strength and beauty and enjoyment and a bunch of stuff I don't even understand, right? And like God wants our life to also involve like beauty and enjoyment and good things, right? But it's different when we have a celebration and we really know like God gave this to us. It's really different than we're like, it's all on my shoulders. I got to make more so I can do all this stuff to make myself and these other people happy. It's different when we accept good stuff as like, man, God gave me that to enjoy it. And so if you're here today and you've been struggling and struggling and struggling, and you feel like a slave to money, but you don't feel rich at all, maybe the takeaway for you this week is like, ask God to open your eyes to something he wants you to enjoy, that he wants to richly provide you with. Because my guess is God wants to set you free not just from greed, more that you never enjoy. He also wants to set you free from like never enough, never stop. And soak in this moment, this year, you'll never be this age again. The people around you are going to change. Like there's something you can enjoy this June that you won't be able to enjoy 5 years from now, right? And like my guess is like God wants you to slow down this week and enjoy something with him and with the people he's put in your life, right? Verse 18, some more commands, right? It's not all hard. Some of us gets command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, to be generous, and willing to share. If you get to know people at Maywood, and not just people that look exactly like you, right? Not just people that live exactly where you live, you're going to run into some people that are different from you. And people that are different from you have different needs than you have. And there's going to be a chance to be generous. And with some person, you're going to be generous by helping them because they know nothing with their car. And someone else, you're going to be generous because they don't have good shoes. Or like, what, you know, there's lots of different ways to be generous, right? If we got a team of people to go interview the people you've been around this week, would they describe you as always generous and willing to share? Like, what if just one day this week, you're like, I'm going to try to be that sort of person to somebody else. I want to be generous and willing to share. Sometimes we're so worried about, yeah, but what are they going to do with it? Or they don't deserve it, or they're going to waste it. I think there's things to wrestle through with that, right? I can remember letting some teenagers borrow a bicycle down in, this is another Mexico story, but they just like trashed the bike. And every time they borrow a bike, they trash it. And it was like, if these were my own kids, I would not let them keep ruining bicycles. You know, at some point, maybe I need to tell these kids, like, no. But for a lot of us, we're not wrestling it through with God of, like, I don't actually know if it's good for them for me to be this generous. Like, a lot of us don't get there, right? We just assume other people don't deserve it and it's better if we hold on to it. And what if just in submission to this verse, of like, I don't want to be one of those people that wanders away from faith in Jesus. If I'm foolish with my money, but I'm trying to obey Jesus, like that's a better place to be. I think Jesus will make you wise with everything you have, right? But maybe we have to start at foolishness to really get free of the money, right? So think about that this week. Like, do you want to be rich in good deeds? Doing good, generous, willing to share. So verse 19, last verse for us today. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age. Sounds a lot like Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, right? In Matthew 6. And so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. no matter who you are, my guess is unless you're like 5 years old or something, like you've probably worked multiple jobs, and at some point you were doing something and you thought like, oh man, all my problems are solved. I got this new financial opportunity. My guess is that didn't work for you, that like all your problems were solved, right? A lot of us have gotten really excited about like, once I get married, or once I get this, or once I get that, my life is going to be all put together. Jesus is the only one who can deliver on that sort of a hope, to like your whole life is going to be full. Like Jesus can do that in your life, and it might involve a job, it might involve a spouse, it might involve other things, but it's Jesus who can come good on something like that. And some of you came in today and you're like, man, that's not what I needed. I got other issues that have nothing to do with money. If you think you have no struggle with money, my guess is like you need this more than anybody else. Like the most powerful stuff inside of us is the stuff we think doesn't have any control on us at all. And like we're living in a time that cares a lot about money. And like if you don't think you have any struggle with that, like I think you're blind. Like I think if you're not struggling with like, Jesus, how do I be generous? Or if you've never struggled with it, then you got somewhere to grow. And this is a fun thing to grow on, right? Like some stuff Jesus calls you to do is just going to be painful. Giving something to someone else is a fun moment as a Christian. Like, and then seeing God come through for you and take care of your basic needs. And a lot of us, you know, you watch one last little thought, and we're going to baptize somebody and move on to more important stuff. But you watch these like car commercials during football games and stuff. They're always like making people feel like, oh, they're so powerful and they're so attractive. But the reality is like that car does not make them look any different. It certainly doesn't make them any more physically fit. Like a lot of these commercials promise things that if you indulge in this way, you'll become strong and attractive and free. But we all know from our real life, like typically like denying ourselves is how we become strong and attractive and free. We have to do contrary action to have a different sort of life. And like this sort of stuff right here, like worldly wealth, Jesus talks about this as like this little stuff. Like if you can't be faithful to me in the little stuff, how can I trust you with true riches? Like other people relying on you, people trusting you and you getting to teach them about God, these are like really big responsibilities. But the amount of money in your pocket right now, like that's a small thing compared to the great thing God wants to give you. And like, let's be faithful on the small things. Let's make Jesus proud of us, pleased with us on the small things, and trust that he's going to take care of us, right? So don't rush out of here feeling guilty and do something you're going to regret. Like, to have a conversation with Jesus about, Jesus, I want to be generous. Show me a way to be generous, right? And then do something you want to do that you think is going to put a smile on Jesus' face, right? So we're going to do baptism here in just a second. I think Eddie's coming up, and we've got one today. It's amazing to be at Maywood and get to have baptisms almost every month. I want to hand things off to Eddie. If you're here today and you're like, what's baptism? I'm curious about it. I want to know more. Eddie does a class once a month with his wife, and he and Sherry would love to talk to you about it, but I'll hand things off to you.
Hey, good morning. Don't run off. This one's going to be pretty cool. Janelle came to us about, 3 years ago now? Somewhere? 3 years ago? And just, I mean, just from the get-go of getting to know Janelle, she just wanted the best for her family. Janelle's story is kind of like a lot of people here, a lot of blessings from God, but also a lot of grief and some pain in the past. So, you know, very much like the rest of us. So, but here's a mom that really wants the best for her family. And Lexi, her oldest daughter, we baptized her a few months back. And now this mom's heart, this mom's desire to be close to Jesus, this mom's desire to put as much of Jesus in her girls as possible has led us to today. So today we're going to baptize Penelope. Penelope is about our youngest. Penelope has been working with our teachers in the little kids department for quite a while. My wife, who, you know, if y'all know my purple-headed wife that's been running around here, I'm just jealous she's got hair. Cher was telling me even this morning, she said, man, Penelope is always asking me questions. We go out in the hallway and she's like, tell me more about Jesus. Tell me more about why he's on that cross. Tell me about why he did this. Tell me about why he got angry at those people in the church. Tell me about the just insatiable curiosity to know who Jesus is. I mean, just that childlike, just, I would just want to tear this stuff up, tear into it. So, you know, fantastic that, you know, that a mom cares about her girls, wants to put everything good into them. And it's brought us to this. I mean, man, you talk about something that you know, a wealth that you can give to your kids that nothing can take away from them. Man, get your kids interested in Jesus, okay? She has asked Pam to come up and pray, so come on, Pam. Lexi and Penelope are ready to go, okay? Pam, go ahead and pray for the girls, and we'll get this young lady baptized.
Dear gracious God, everybody bow, please. This is the first time I've done this, so I'm nervous. But I just pray for this family. They've been above and beyond. I knew Janelle a long time ago, and then she came to Maywood, and we talked, and then she left, and she came back to Maywood, and I was like, you're back. She goes, yes, I'm staying this time. I just want to pray for her girl, Penelope. She is such a trooper. She's doing best. And her daughter, I just love all them to pieces. And I just pray that they continue to know how much God has come in their lives. And they're just awesome. In Jesus, I pray. Thank you.
If you have already made a decision to follow Christ as your Lord and Savior, please, baptism is the next logical step in that progression. If you're curious about baptism, we have got a class, as Jake said, we got a class on the second Wednesday of every month. Yeah, thanks for putting that up there. Second Wednesday, 6:30 in the church office. So come talk to us. Thanks.
Okay. Yeah, so not this Wednesday, but yeah, second Wednesday of the month. That would be great. I'm going to close this out in prayer, if you guys will bow your heads with me. God, thank you for richly providing everything for our enjoyment. I pray you give us open eyes, generous, healthy eyes, to see the things you want us to enjoy, and also to see the things you want us to give, the people you want us to give to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.